All right, what's up, everybody? Jack Maloney here, Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Proxies and Basketball Network, a podcast to be named later, episode 14. We've been off for most of the summer, taking a break, but now that the season's about to start, we're starting to get back into things. We got Zach Oliver and Taylor Smith here, veterans now of the podcast, and our new guy, Ryan, a.k.a. Tyne Prinz, making his debut. He's been with us a few weeks, jumping on for a first podcast. That was DJ Las Latino on the intro music, as always. So we're going to get started. The biggest news lately, change to the playoff format. Division winner no longer guaranteed a top four seed. Actually no longer guaranteed a playoff spot. Theoretically possible that all five teams from one division could miss the playoffs. It's extremely unlikely, but it is possible. What do you guys think about that move? Do you think that's a good decision by the league?
I do. I think it took long enough. I mean, we saw it last year kind of kill at least the Spurs.
Cause, right.
You know, they got jabbed and what they end up as a sixth seed and then lose in the first round because they had to give the four seed to the freaking Trailblazers, even though they were not great, especially after the Wes Matthews injury. So
right.
I think it's long overdue, and it's going to be really good for the league.
Seems like the only real reason to have, sorry.
No, that's good.
Divisions anymore is, I guess, scheduling and proximity, so the teams aren't just, you know, having to travel way more than they already do.
Right.
Still mostly, I mean, you'll play your team in your division four times, and then you might play another team in your conference three times or four times, but there's really no need to have the playoff seeding thing at all. It's just a hollow, you know, trying to make division championships matter. And it's kind of the next step along the way toward just, you know, eliminating conferences, but it's probably further down the road.
Yeah, like everyone's saying, it was inevitable. I think especially after last year with what happened with Portland and San Antonio, it became more of a priority. So yeah, pretty much just so everyone else is saying.
Yeah, it's definitely, seems like it's something that people have been talking for a while, but like every big change almost needs like one event to happen where everyone's like gets fed up with it. And like this is kind of the tipping point in that the Spurs, one of your most dominant franchises, win 55 games and like have to get relegated to playing the Clippers. Like that easily could have been the Eastern or Western Conference Finals matchup, and instead it's the first round because of this weird rule. And so that was kind of it. And you know, that's just how things go. Like everyone talks about making a change, but then you really need that one event. Let's go. Sorry, Gronk just got a big catch. We're recording this during the Patriots game. Sorry. But yeah, so that was the tipping point. You guys were, I think it was Zach was mentioning, or maybe it was Taylor, like the end of divisions altogether. Do you think that is, you guys think that's something the league should do? I mean, I know people have talked about it forever, but is that like a realistic thing, or is that more of just basketball people talking, you know, basketball utopia that happens, or is that a realistic possibility?
I mean, I don't know if it's realistic that they go away from them completely. I think it could lead to a changing of them, you know, to do it more, a little bit more geographically and, you know, have less, you know, you might only have two divisions in each conference then. Because, I mean, you're still going to be playing 82 games and the breakdown is still going to be the same. Like, you're only going to play two teams or the teams from the other conference two times, and then the rest of your games will be split up between the teams and the two divisions in your conference. But, you know, I at least personally, I think that the best series that we got last during the playoffs last year was the Spurs-Clippers in the first round, and that's not good for the NBA. Like,
right.
You don't want your best series to be first.
Yeah.
To be later, and I think that's one of the things that really pushed them to make this change.
In divisions, like I was saying earlier, I guess the only real reason to still have them is just scheduling and
right.
convenience and stuff, but eliminating conferences kind of seems a little more difficult to do. I mean, you could still schedule things the same way, I guess, and just have, you know, the top 16 in the playoffs regardless. And I, you know, that's possible. I guess the only thing there that everyone points to is the travel. And, you know, you could have Portland play in Miami, which would suck for those teams. But
yeah, like, so that's the problem with ending the conferences. But I think divisions, it can be worked out. Because
right.
Realistically, you know, maybe you shift a team or two from each conference. Like, do Memphis and New Orleans really belong in the Western Conference?
Right.
Yeah. You switch Memphis and New Orleans, maybe put Milwaukee and Chicago in the West. I mean, even that balances the powers in the conference for now. But, I mean, it's always changing. So I think that the travel is the biggest thing holding them back from eliminating conferences. And
right.
I mean, it's just too tough to manage, I think, especially in this day and age.
All right. So that's a good shot on the playoff format. I think we're all in agreement that it's something that's been coming and should have happened for a while. So other news, the Suns. Suns have a lot going on. So first we'll talk about their new jerseys and their new court. They have like six jerseys now, which is ridiculous. They just dropped these new black ones. What are your guys' thoughts? I mean, they dropped black jerseys with black font and like this weird white outline. Plus they have orange and purple piping, but the numbers are white and the letters are black. Like, yeah. I really don't understand what they did with these jerseys.
Outside of sleeve jerseys, these might be the worst jerseys. I mean, like the charcoal gray black mixture that they have inside the lettering of the PHX is just horrendous, and the multicolor piping, ugh. Like, and it doesn't. The new court that they have such a injustice. Like the new court is really nice.
Yeah, they went back to the old sun with like the shooting lines coming out of the sun in the middle. It looks pretty cool. I like the court.
But look, they have enough jerseys, and to be honest, they've probably got some of the better jersey combinations in the league. Like they don't these new black things. Burn them.
That's an injustice to call them a uniform.
It really is. Teams are like really into explaining their new uniforms with some really convoluted and prideful spiel that they'll give out. And part of the Phoenix one explaining these uniforms was saying they want to harken back to the old black ones they had in the 90s, which they brought back a couple years ago. And you know, I really like those, and I don't know why they just couldn't wear those again as opposed to just churning out some garbage.
If you want to go back to old jerseys, just wear the old jerseys. Like, he's going to say, no, you can't wear your throwbacks. It's like the Magic had the pinstripes in the 90s, and then they went back to the pinstripes in the late 2000s. And the 90s pinstripes are still better, but at least these pinstripes aren't terrible, except for the quote-unquote pride jerseys, the sleeve jerseys that they had last year, which were... Oh.
Yeah, those and the Celtics and the Magic all had those terrible gray ones last year.
It's so bad. I feel like these Phoenix jerseys like will barely get used. Like, they'll probably roll them out a few times and then just realize, like, these are kind of garbage, and then they'll just disappear without really any news. They're just all of a sudden... We don't have these jerseys anymore.
Would anybody even notice?
Yeah, like, no, I doubt it. Like, you don't remember stuff like this a few months once the season starts.
You'll forget about them, and then they'll be, like, playing in their only national TV game. They'll roll them out, and you're just like, oh.
What? Yeah.
These are a thing. Click and turn off the TV.
All right, so other Suns news, Markieff Morris. He's obviously disgruntled after they traded his brother. He just got fined $10,000 for demanding a trade on Twitter, I believe. I don't remember his exact tweet, but he's pretty unhappy. Jeff Hornacek had some things to say the other day. He was saying, some games he brings it, some games he doesn't. Maybe it's conditioning. Maybe it's him saying, if I put the effort in on defense, I can do it on the offensive end. Hornacek says they'll use more of him this year. If the game's on the line, he thinks he'll be great at it. The question in Hornacek's mind is if he can focus in during the middle of the game. That, like, you know, when the game's on the line, everyone's keyed in. It's just the second and third quarters in February. Do you care? And I guess that's their big question with Markieff. So obviously, a lot of people around the league think he's going to get traded. He wants to get traded. The problem is the Suns really have no leverage. You're going to have to get like 25 cents back on the dollar since everyone knows you want to get rid of him. Do you guys think first, should they? I mean, is that a good decision? And then do you think will it actually happen?
It seems inevitable. I don't know if they can try to, you know, hold out and act like they are going to play hardball and just force him to come to the team. But he's like, I've never seen a guy go this publicly scorched earth.
Yeah.
That I can remember, at least. It's like, it's insane what he's doing, going on Twitter and publicly slamming them and things like that. But.
Yeah, he really.
You were saying everyone knows that.
Want to dump him. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Taylor's mic right now, but he's kind of cut out, so we missed that. Zach or Ryan, you guys have any thoughts?
I mean, if he doesn't want to be there, it's kind of hard to force him to be there. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, what are they going to do? Like, if he's going to have a bad attitude, he's going to have a bad attitude. So I feel like they should find, like, at least try to get something back for him.
Right. That's
you can't really do something with someone that doesn't want to play.
Right. Is that you won't get much back, but is having him on the team really helpful if he's just mailing it in and then also creating a problem in the locker room? Like, that would kind of create a divide between the team. I don't think that's worth it at this point. Like, you're trying to build. You just got Chandler. You brought in Brandon Knight last year. You have Bledsoe. You're trying to build something, and you just have Markieff kind of stewing by himself or, like, sort of ruining the team's chemistry. Even if you just get back, you know, not 25 cents on the dollar, it's what are you going to do? You can't have him ruining your season is my thought. I don't know if it will happen, though. I think maybe at some point during the season, but I think they'll start the season with him on the team.
Here's another thing. Who's going to want a player like that who
right.
could end up being a cancer down the line and who has had off-the-court issues?
That's certainly fair. I mean, he had him and his brother. I don't know if that case ever got resolved what did they beat? They beat up somebody. I forget who exactly it was, but they assaulted someone, which is, I think it was in defense of their mom apparently. But it's still like, they beat him pretty badly, which is not a good sign.
It's not great, Bob. No, I'm pretty sure that those charges are still up. And you know, if he's going to be disgruntled if he's not playing with his brother, then there's an issue there.
Yeah.
You know? Like. I wonder, okay, it's pretty clear that they just haven't grown up yet. You know, I understand wanting to play with your brother, and I understand that, you know, you play better with him. But at the end of the day, you're an adult, and you're a professional athlete. Like, you can't have him by your side 24/7. And if it's going to affect your play, then there's a big issue there.
It seems like nobody's going to really want to, like, the Pistons probably aren't going to want to bring him in and repair them because it seems like they've been more trouble together than they were when they were, you know, when he was on the Rockets, or Marcus was on the Rockets, and you know, son. Or...
And plus, where would Marquise play for the Pistons?
He was on
Taylor's struggling.
Taylor, go home.
So,
it's funny, you can, we're recording this like on a Google Hangout, so you can see Taylor like trying to talk, but it's not coming through, and so he just looks like, it's pretty funny watching him, but something's clearly messed up with his computer, so we'll have to get his thoughts later. Wrapping things up, Eurobasket's been going on. I know not everyone's had a chance to watch, but the knockout stage starts Saturday and Sunday. 16 teams left, all but three or four have NBA guys playing. There's a big Germany-Spain game today. Dennis Schroeder missed a heartbreaking free throw that would have tied it with like 3 seconds left. Germany got eliminated, so that's the end of Dirk's international career. But looking forward to Saturday and Sunday, what games are you guys hoping to be able to watch? All of them are on ESPN3. But I know I definitely obviously want to check out Greece. They're taking on Belgium. Giannis, you have to watch Giannis whenever. They also have Nick Kalathis and Kostas Koufos. You got Spain with Gasol and Rudy Fernandez taking on Poland and Marcin Gortat. You got France has Tony Parker, Boris, Rudy versus Turkey, who has Ersan. It's some fun games. What are you guys looking forward to?
I think that Spain-Poland game is going to be a good one on Saturday. Also, probably try to catch a little bit of France-Turkey to see how beforehand it looks for magic purposes. And I'll still be asleep, but that Croatia-Czech Republic game on Sunday morning.
You're not getting up at 6 a.m., Zach? Come on.
I don't care about how Mario is on your like...
Hezonja versus Vesely. That's the matchup people want to see.
Look, Hezonja can use this as a stepping stone if he wants, but he's going to be in for a real, real treat when he starts playing against NBA competition. That's how I feel. Yeah, I'm the one person at the site who is a little bit more hard on him, and that's probably because I'm going to have to cover him and make sure that he doesn't, you know, do anything stupid and get into any fights throughout the season. So that's kind of how I feel about that situation.
So there's
some really intriguing games here, and I think we'll get a lot of really good basketball.
I'm interested in, you know, obviously.
Taylor,
you go ahead. I'll probably cut out.
All right. So I've been watching a lot of France, and their front court that's really intriguing. Diaw and Gobert is a really fun combination on both sides of the court. I mean, you have Rudy just blocking literally everything, and then Boris' playmaking ability with Gobert's ability just to catch lobs and stuff. That's really fun to watch. Hezonja and Saric. Saric is turning out to be a really good playmaker as well. I mean, he's had some really nice passes.
Yep.
And then Hezonja's decision-making, I was watching the game on Monday, and, I mean, he, at the end of the game, they were down. I guess it was, like, desperation, but he just seemed to be chucking. But Mario's going to be Mario, I guess.
Yeah. I think that on Sunday at 12:30 Eastern, that Israel-Italy game should be pretty fun. Italy's got Gallinari and Bellinelli. And Bargnani, who's actually like a useful player for them. But the funniest thing about Italy is that Bellinelli is like their go-to guy. And like the announcer the other day against Germany was like, "I think it's time for Marco Bellinelli to take over." And it's like, yes, that's what I'm trying to see.
That's what we're watching for.
It's going to happen in Sacramento.
Yeah.
It's like when you're watching a Lakers game and you know it's Nick Young time.
Anytime he's on the floor, it's Nick Young time.
All right, you guys got any final thoughts? Anything in the NBA world you wanna mention or plug before we wrap things up?
Actually, one more thing about Eurobasket. Lithuania, Jonas Valančiūnas is basically that entire team. Like, when he comes off the court, they struggle a lot. He's their defensive anchor, and he averages a double-double for them.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty fun to watch him dominate, though. He does pretty well.
Yeah, and they're playing Georgia, the country, on Sunday at 3. And Georgia obviously has Zaza. And then Georgia's point guard is former Kansas State star Jacob Pullen, who had the James Harden beard before Harden, which is pretty hilarious to watch him hooping for Georgia. I didn't even know he's still playing basketball, but yeah, he's running the show for Georgia. So that should be pretty interesting. Taylor or Zach, you guys got any final thoughts?
I haven't been able to watch, but I'm definitely interested in being able to game just for the Bellinelli factor. I got to watch Bellinelli take it over, lead Italy to glory.
Yeah, I'll be interested to watch France, as I said, not only for Fournier, but also for Rudy Gobert, because he's my pick for defensive player of the year this year.
Yeah, he blocked a shot with his elbow the other day.
Yeah, that seems good. Ryan, don't forget the donuts tomorrow morning. We expect in the conference room.
I got it.
And remember, Eric likes his coffee laced with cocaine.
All right, I think we'll end it on that. Podcast to be named later. This is episode 14. I'm Jack, Ryan, a.k.a. Tyne, Taylor, and Zach with me today. Here's DJ Las Latino playing us out. What are we gonna do now? Let's go back.